This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Former Race Discrimination Commissioner Tim Soupomesane has a new book out from Melbourne University Press, and it is entitled On Hate. Tim joins us on the line now. Tim, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you.
And good morning, Tim. It's Macca. What can I, you know, you've had a great career as an advocate, and particularly, you know, most recently as former Race Discrimination Commissioner for a few years. What was your inspiration for writing this book, which and being published by Melbourne University Press? What was the inspiration for writing it?
Ooh, I had 5 years at the Human Rights Commission, as you know, at Macca, and we had a very turbulent few years on race relations. And reflecting on those 5 years and thinking about the rise of far-right extremism and white supremacist movements around the world, and including here in Australia, I thought it was important to put some of those thoughts together and reflect on the implications that these political shifts may have on our democracy. Because if we're seeing nationalist populism and extremism grow in popularity, I don't think it's just a problem for racial minorities and other minorities alone. These developments could pose a fundamental threat to our liberal democracy itself. So that was really the thinking behind the book. Also some reflections in the book on free speech and hate speech and the limits of freedom in public debate, and thinking about how institutionalized racism can be in our country. We often think of racial hate in terms of the outburst of bigotry or violence that we see in public places. Think of vilification on trains or in trams or buses. But more often than not, the way people experience discrimination and intolerance can be more subtle and more insidious. I mean, you don't need to be a frothing, card-carrying member of the Ku Klux Klan in order to do something that may involve hate or racism.
I often refer to it as the salami tactic, the salami slice, that if we look over, you know, recent times, each instance of racism, you know, that we see in the public domain that gets media attention, each one seems to be a little bit worse. And, you know, political tolerance of this there seems to be more tolerance of it. And each time it's like, it's just a little bit of a change every now and then. Oh, well, actually, yeah, look, you know, that is, actually it is acceptable, you know, look, or it was just a joke. But it's actually the level at what this is happening and what those acts of racism and hatred are becoming, I'm not saying more acceptable, but less unacceptable.
Hmm.
I think you're right, Macca. And it's you refer to it as the salami slice. I think of the frog boiling in water. We've got to be really careful about normalising or making acceptable any nastiness or bigotry, whether it involves race or sex or gender or sexual orientation. The moment you start allowing people to believe they can get away with something is the moment that it begins to grow and thrive. And unfortunately, we have had a few years where political leaders have been willing to give license to hatred and bigotry. I mean, I think of the debate we had around the Racial Discrimination Act and what former Attorney General George Brandis said when he said that everyone has a right to be a bigot. Well, when you have Australia's first war officer saying that, we shouldn't be surprised if then people start thinking they do have a right to be a bigot and venting on streets or in public places. Our leaders have a fundamental responsibility to set the tone in our society, and if they send signals that you can get away with hate speech and justify it as free speech, then we shouldn't be surprised at all that we start seeing more hatred being expressed.
Tim, it's Fiona here. What I find concerning is that when people use political correctness and as a put down, as if there is something wrong with being politically correct, as if there's something wrong with being considerate of other people's concerns and other people's, the fact that not everyone is actually going to be being accepted, and that race should, or gender, and that why. I just don't find political correctness to be such a bad thing. I hate it when people put it down, because it's actually a decent way to communicate.
It's about respect.
Respectful way to communicate with people. And it's just something that really makes me so sad when you have leaders and other people in the community putting down this political correctness.
Yeah, and what does political correctness actually mean, right? I would say that those who invoke the phrase most frequently are most guilty themselves of a form of groupthink and a form of dismissal when it comes to public debate, because it's used as a trump card, if you like, because no one wants to be politically correct, so therefore we don't even debate whatever's been labelled politically correct. And what often goes hand in hand with the diagnosis of political correctness is this idea that free speech is being stifled when nastiness or bad conduct is being called out, that people are now no longer free to think certain things or say certain things. But quite often what we have play out is people exercising their free speech to criticise ideas, only for that speech to be shut down as politically correct. So there's a double standard involved in how political correctness is used as a phrase, and I would like to think that good, reasonable people in our society are mindful of how there are double standards involved in debates. And whenever people invoke political correctness, it's always worth asking, well, what's exactly wrong with whatever's being criticised as politically correct?
If you ever want to, any of these people that talk about it a lot, Tim, ask them if they actually understand the... where the term political correctness came from.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, where did it come from?
Came from Stalinist Russia.
there's a fascinating history behind it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually the opposite of what they think. The other thing we talk about myself, not the royal we, that as a community, as a queer community, we say we believe in freedom of speech, and we don't discriminate, da da da. Yet we actually practice it against other races than white Caucasians within the queer community. So we can't be selective, saying, "Oh, look, I really don't accept that racism," but we practice it within our own communities. As other communities practice it, against other communities that perhaps they should be allied with, but they're not. It's a really it's a really hard question, Tim. What do you for the future? What do you think is on the horizon for stopping hate speech or reducing hate speech and racism? What are your thoughts? Are they optimistic or not?
Well, I'm hopeful. I'm not sure I'd describe it necessarily as optimistic, but I am hopeful, and I would hope that people of goodwill and good conscience can stand in solidarity with those who experience hatred or who are vulnerable to discrimination and intolerance, regardless of the attribute that's involved. Just as we might stand against homophobia, so we should stand against sexism, so we should stand against racism, and so on, because these all involve human rights, and human rights shouldn't be traded against each other, and groups shouldn't have to think of this as being about competition. I've had many queer activists and others question me, for example, do you think there should be restrictions or laws against vilification based on course I believe there, there should be restrictions against what you can say in vilifying people on their characteristics. Of course, how laws tend to evolve in our society is they have their own history, and often laws only come about when particular groups in our society organise and advocate for a change to the law, and that's what's, that's what happened on race decades ago when we had the introduction of racial vilification laws, and I've always said that, you know, when there are vulnerable groups that are out there making the case for protections, those who are in favour of human rights have got to be prepared to stand alongside them and support them as well.
Some of the people who talk about freedom of speech, I, you know, in a way that I don't agree with, they should actually spell it F-R-E-E-D-U-M-B.
Well said.
Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech, absolutely.
Well, freedom of speech doesn't mean you should be free from criticism.
No.
And you shouldn't be free from the consequences of what you say either. And all too often, we have a very simplistic view of what free speech involves. But let's remember, we've got all sorts of restrictions that currently exist on what we can say in public. I mean, you can't just go out and defame someone without there being consequences under defamation law. If you were to use offensive language in public, in most jurisdictions across Australia, you can be arrested and be convicted of a crime for using offensive language in public. I mean, even our politicians can't get away with offensive language in the chambers of parliament under the standing orders there. So when we talk about free speech, let's remember nothing's ever absolutely free, and one person's freedom always ends where another person's freedom begins.
It does. Tim, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Look, thank you, you know, for all your work.
Thank you.
But thank you for writing this, and I've actually ordered a copy, so there you go. You'll make some money out of me, which is a fairly rare thing.
I appreciate the support, Macca, and thanks very much for having me this morning.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, CEO and Managing Director of Virgin Australia. You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.